Lord Jesus, your word says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. God, and we are building a house, a holy treasure, a spiritual building, a superstructure. Please, Holy Spirit, build our house today, God, that we would understand and that we would add to the toolbox of our faith the things that you want us to see today, that the teaching that you give us, God, would well up in us love, joy, and peace, and patience, and goodness, and kindness, and faithfulness, and self-control. Not the works of the flesh, not the arrogance of a man, God, but the love of God in us. Help us, Lord, to know your word better and better each time we read it. Holy Spirit, seal us for this work. In Christ's name, amen. We stopped last week kind of mid-journey because we had gotten to a point, I think, of informational saturation where we were just like, you know what? I think we all had a little bit enough of that. And it was a lot to digest because the Lord was so detailed in explaining to us how much we need him. But the other side of this coin that we studied last week is it's not a simple coin to wrap our head around. And there's three subject matters that he deals with here and enters into a fourth. Let's go through them together. The first thing the Lord Jesus says in verse 18 of John chapter 15, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Please give me your attention. Let's just talk about this for a second. If it seems to you the lack of understanding of why certain things exist in this world as what they call a groupthink, understand that there is somebody beyond what we see pulling the strings. There is a spiritual force on why you are supposed to be and do and have certain thought processes that you might have. For instance, why in the world would your friends and family dissuade you from going to church? Why in the world would certain people have this penchant, this ability to argue you out of faith? Why in the world are our universities, our Silicon Valley masters, so anti-God? Anybody? Why? It makes no sense. Why is communism responsible for the murder and destruction of literally millions and millions of people? Why in the world would a man named Hitler be born and destroy 6 million Jews and 4 million other people just because? Why in the world? These things don't exist in my mind with understanding. Well, there's a spiritual understanding. When you are sealed with, let me go a little doctrinal for you, you are baptized into the body of Christ, not the water baptism that we did a few weeks ago at the beach, but there is a baptism called being baptized into the body. The second you make that decision, the second you open your heart up, the very moment like that, that you say, yes, Lord Jesus, you are immediately sealed. The Bible says the Holy Spirit seals you like, I don't know like what, but sealed. And the Holy Spirit now takes up residence in you, never to leave. The Bible talks about these different words, and when we study the Holy Spirit, which we will be doing next week because the Lord is talking about the Holy Spirit all through chapter 16, we're going to see that the Lord, speaking of the Holy Spirit, says that he was with you but will be in you. And the word employed in the Greek is the word en, meaning N, E-N, not in, but N, which means take up residence, never to leave, sealed, that's it. You can come here, accept Christ as your Savior, leave, and never go back to church again, and you still will not lose your salvation. You never read the Bible again, you'll never lose your salvation. You could sleep around, drug around, party around, you will still never lose the salvation if you have truly received Christ as your Savior. That is what is called being sealed by the Holy Spirit. But this crazy thing that this Holy Spirit that takes up residence in you does, he makes people hate you. He makes you have, quote unquote, bad luck. Why do things always do that to me? Now, please, looking at some of the struggles that our ladies have gone through, looking at some of the struggles you have gone through, let me remind you that more Christians have died for their faith in the last 100 years than all 2,000 years before when Christ walked the earth. The most persecuted people group on the face of the planet are Christians. Before we go feeling sorry for ourselves because we lost a job, a deal, a family member doesn't like us, there are people even now being crucified for believing. Coptic Christians are being slaughtered. Their daughters and wives are being put into sex slave camps and trade, being sold just for being a Christian. Know this, the Lord Jesus says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, here's the next question. If you are here and you know not what I speak of now, maybe you ain't a Christian. And I mean that sincerely. If you are not sealed with the Holy Spirit, then the world will not hate you. And you will not experience these trials. You will not experience these pains. Have you ever looked at somebody and said, dude, what is your problem? If you've never said that, I don't know. Maybe it's time for some self-examination. Maybe I should tell you this story. Chuck Smith, in one of his books, and I don't remember which one, but I recommend them all highly, he tells a story that I've told dozens of times in the last 13 years as the pastor of this church. That in the old, Salvation Army. They used to have a Bible study in the Salvation Army. And every week there was this old black dude that used to show up in a cane, and he used to tell, and they used to have a testimony time. And he used to say, this week, I was walking across the city, and I came across Satan, and I whooped him with the power of God. And every week, he'd show up there, and this week, I was walking on the way, and Satan come across my path, and I whooped him in the name of Jesus. And there was this very smartly, this is the way Pastor Chuck described it, very smartly dressed white dude, tie, and one day he just couldn't take it no more. He goes, listen, I walk the same street you walk. I live in the same neighborhood you walk, and I never come across Satan. And he said, without missing a beat, the dude looked at me and goes, well, maybe you're walking in the same direction. Yeah. If you have no experience in these things, what does a Christian life look like? You're going in or coming out of a trial. If you have not had that experience, I'm asking you again, or should I say I'm telling you again, maybe you're walking in the same direction. If you ain't annoying the enemy, if you ain't bothering him, if he ain't hating you, maybe he's only leaving you alone for that reason. You ain't doing nothing to mess with his kingdom, and you ain't doing nothing to further God's. Okay, I'll stop. Verse 19, if you of the world would love its own, Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. I want to read to you the latter part of verse 19 again. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. I want to remind you, brothers and sisters, this very simple fact. The Bible says that you did not choose him, he chose you. Remember, we looked at that last week? I want to remind you, please wrap your head around this. Receive this if you will. Young and old alike, teenager, less than teenager, or 80 plus. You are not here of your own volition. You are not here because you made a decision. You are here because when the Lord Jesus was forming beings, and I want you to know there is a very finite number. According to Scripture, there is a finite number. We do not live in a circle of life thing. We live in a linear time frame, an existence that had a beginning and has an end. And every single being that ever was, will be, or whatever in existence has been and has a name and a number to God. And when God was making all the beings, he said, this one is the apple of my eye. He said, this one is the love of my life. He said, this one I will gladly die for. And I, for one, have struggled with this my entire life. Being a street kid, walking around my neighborhood, looking to do something to hurt somebody, having spent time in both jail and prison, having done things that most human beings would find irredeemable. When the Lord did redeem me, I struggled and said, God, why did you choose me? And everybody said the same thing. Oh, you're one of them Christians? Yeah, you must have, what happened in your life? Well, you know, I had to go to prison. Oh, yeah, that happens. All you guys that get arrested, that happens too. Like, here's the excuse. Oh, you were one of those drug addicts, right? Now, I was never a drug addict, but some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You're addicts. Oh, yeah, that's why you love God now, because you were an addict. You just ran. And they go through their list in their head of how it's supposed to work out. Oh, yeah, you saw too much. You went to war and you saw ugly. Here's the list of why you're a Christian and they're not. And it makes perfect sense to them. No, the reason you're a Christian is because God decided when he was making beings that Sabrina, he loves you. There's a crazy verse in the Bible and it drives people nuts. There was two brothers, one was named Esau and one was named Jacob. Do you guys remember those names? And in the Bible it says, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. They were twin brothers. Now, that word for hated is not the word hated as in, I hate that guy. Because then the world would have an excuse on why they hate God. It was the word that means less than love. It means some people are chosen by preference. Now, some people also wrap their head around that by saying, you see, that's not fair. Why would he make some people that he loves less? I don't know, maybe you could ask him when you get there, why don't you just be happy that God loves you? Maybe God's sovereign hand is a little smarter than yours. And what some people do is they say, well, if God knows the end from the beginning, and some people are born and they go to hell, then God must send people to hell. And I always go, I don't catch your logic. How about this? If some people are born and they're destined to go to hell, maybe God knows the end from the beginning. Because in the dimension that we live in, we certainly don't. Let me tell you a story like this. I love this story. There's a man who gets on an airplane and he sits down and he's flying a 5-hour flight. And he sits down and there's a little girl sitting next to him, maybe 11, 12 years old, and she's reading a little comic book. And the man says, well, hello, little girl. And she says, hello. And he says, would you like to talk to me? Because the plane will go a lot faster, the flight will go quicker if we just have a conversation. And the little girl kind of puts her book down and goes, what would you like to talk about? And he says, well, how about the lack of existence of God? The proven science that there is no such thing as a higher power. And she looks and says, I have a question for you. And he smugly looks at her and goes, speak on. And she says, how come a deer, a cow, and a horse all eat the same thing, but a horse has big, giant doo-doo? A cow has flat, patty doo-doo. And a deer has a little, tiny, specky doo-doo. And he laughs and giggles and says, I don't know that. And she says, then why should I talk to you about God since you don't know crap? I struggle with why God chose me. I don't know why. But let me tell you, I am so glad he did. Because I love the life that God's given me. I do. I'll take it with all the struggles. I'll take it with all the hassles. I'll just embrace it. And I will, as the ladies we saw, I will, as the Lord encouraged me, I will pick up my cross daily and follow him. And let me tell you about the cross and what I'm supposed to do with it. I'm supposed to find other people who have the same cross and comfort them with the same comfort God comforted me. And that's your job. I gotta confess, I'm like that guy. I don't know crap, but here's what I know. I know God loves me. I know God loves me. Because he chose me out of the world. Remember, verse 20, the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. Now that's from John chapter 13:16. Just a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the Lord Jesus telling his disciples that you don't exceed your teacher, never. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. Please give me your attention. This is an incredibly confusing, incredibly easy to mistake. I will hopefully obliterate some of the questions you have, because in America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, in America, the land of plenty, a land that flows with milk and honey, in a country that is so blessed, we often find ourselves, there's this new thing called privilege. And it's not just now white privilege, it is now American privilege. And there's these commercials all over YouTube and Google and Facebook, all the Silicon Valley liberals who wish us to hate ourselves as they hate themselves. There's a commercial with this young brown girl talking, and she says, some people have to walk miles to get a glass of water. Me, I just turn my sink on. And then she looks down and she goes, that's my privilege. What does that mean? I'm confused. So what should the girl do? How about just being thankful and giving back, because the Bible says too much is given, much is required. But they don't have that ability to understand what the difference between blessing and privilege is. Privilege is something that they put on you so that you feel less about yourself, so that somebody else can feel better about themselves. I often have done that because in the last few years, my business that I've been running for the last 25 years, that I started out of my car when I was homeless, because the last few years, it's been really blessed. I find myself often thinking about people who are in a fixed income, those folks out there that make $250, $350 a week, and I think to myself, man, how do they do it? How do they make ends meet? I thought about you ladies that went on the trip and it was like 50 bucks. If you stayed in a room, it was 100 bucks. Driving out, I guess, I thought to myself, man, that's a lot. But then I had to comfort myself with this. God's in control. He knows. I'm not the savior. Even though I have a little bit of extra money, I'm not supposed to be meeting people's needs. That's God's job. And then I thought to myself, this must be what happens to these really rich liberals. They really start to feel bad for people, but instead of giving their money, they want to give your money. I don't understand that. What does this have to do with the Bible study? Listen, I want you to see something here that you have to be able to wrap your head around. Because as Christians, we take the privilege of salvation, the blessing of salvation, and instead of using it as the ability we have to bless others with the same thing, we worry about the pygmy in the middle of the woods who never heard the name Jesus. We worry about the billion Muslims. We worry about the half a billion Sikhists. We worry about the Taoists. We worry about the, name the religion. And we think to ourselves, that's why I struggle. You know, it's easy to be a Christian in America, but what about if you're a Hindu? Here the Lord Jesus says something very interesting, and I want you to understand that he says this for extremely important reasons. He said again, verse 22, if I had not come and spoke to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. When you have heard the name and the message of the gospel, you are judged based upon your works and not based upon grace. Now, unfortunately for all of you all here and the vast majority of Americans and the vast majority of people in the free world and the vast majority of people now on the planet, they understand there is no moral relativity. Rape is rape. Murder is murder. And if you're a pygmy in the woods or a headhunter in wherever, whatever you want to use, you will be judged according to your knowledge thereof. What do I mean by that? Hold your place there. We're going to come back. Turn to Romans, which is just a handful of pages to the right. Look at verse 12 of chapter 2 of the book of Romans. Now, please understand, I did switch a little bit of gears here, and I want you to know why. It's because the Lord Jesus is dealing with it. And I'm not going to claim to know the correlation between the two things, but apparently there was people at that day and age that were saying, well, it's not fair. What about this guy, and he never heard about Jesus? What about that person? He never heard about this. And he goes, whoa. I had a guy put it to me this way one time. God has imprinted his fingerprint on each and every heart since he formed not just the body of man, but the spirit of man. And in the spirit of every man, and when I say man, I mean man and woman, there is a hunger placed in their spirit, a vacuum shape, if you will, the shape of our Savior, the shape of God himself. And all their lives, they yearn for this. So that if there was such thing as the pygmy in the middle of Papua New Guinea, and one day he is drinking water out of a brook, and he looks up and he sees the beauty of the mountain with the sun glistening off, and he goes, in his heart, wow, I'm really blessed that all I had to do was hike 5 miles to this stream so I can sip this fresh water. And the beauty that God has given me, that even in that, God has called the yearning of all people to come to himself. You understand what I'm saying? I hope you do. Here's how Paul put it under the influence of the Holy Spirit. For as many as have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And as many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For, verse 14, when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves. Please, if you've never read any of Paul's writings, Paul, there was something wrong in Paul's head. He knew nothing of periods, only commas. Paul just kept on writing these run-on sentences. And let me explain to what he says. He says, if you want to be a Jew, then you will be judged by the law. If you do not want to be a Jew, then you will be judged by the law that I placed in your heart, him speaking of God. Every person has the law in their heart. Let me tell you a story. We have this young girl. I'm not going to tell you where, just in case you ever meet her. But we know this young girl, and she comes to one of my friends who works for me a few months ago, and she says, I'm pregnant. And we say, praise God. No, my father's going to kill me. You see, she is a tall, skinny. Her and her boyfriend are a different color. And her father would never understand. And she does not know what to do. And we embrace her and we say, we will take care of you. You can come and stay with us if you get thrown out. If you don't want your baby, we will take your baby. No problem. And she says, I don't know what to do. I have to get this off of me. He said, don't do it. Well, she accepts Christ as her Savior in the office. I'm so stupid, it's ridiculous. I am so stupid, it's ridiculous. I am so sorry. And then a few days later, she says that she took this thing called an abortion pill, and the pregnancy is terminated. And when she went to the office, she went to Planned Parenthood, you know, where they offer only other services and never do abortions, according to the internet. The 300,000 babies that they kill every year, don't worry about that. They offer many services that they really don't offer. They told her, listen, guilt is a byproduct of your upbringing. It's make-believe. It's false. Do not believe the guilt in your heart. What you are doing is a good thing. This is what their counsel to her was. Don't worry about the guilt. Don't embrace it. God's been doing a work in that young lady, and we're going to watch her, and someday she's going to be here worshiping with us. I know that, because she accepted Christ as her Savior. And even though she accepted Christ as her Savior, as a young believer, committing an abortion is not the unpardonable sin. It is not. All sin is forgivable in God's eyes. With you looking toward him, that is the idea of grace. However, if she was under the law, if she had not accepted Christ as her Savior, she would be convicted by her sin, because when she went there and she felt terrible about what she was doing, some pathetic piece of trash human being said, don't worry about the guilt. That's just your upbringing. There's nothing wrong with having an abortion. Although that particular woman that was counseling her had none abortions herself, of course, because that's only for the little people.
Hey, Ryan, unpardonable sin, that's sinning, blaspheming against the Holy Spirit?
Excellent question. Yes, there is an unpardonable sin according to Scripture, and that's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Nobody here has committed the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You might sit there and go, how do you know that? Because you wouldn't be here if you did. blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not having the knock on your heart. If she wouldn't have come back and said to me, they told me I shouldn't worry about the guilt. That right there is the Holy Spirit saying, what you did was wrong. If she would have took that pill, had abortion, church, salvation, no thanks, not interested. Why? No conviction, no Holy Spirit, no guilt. That is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not saying, Holy Spirit, that's not that. As a matter of fact, I'd say that person probably has more conviction than anybody else. So if you're wondering along those same lines, like the Lord Jesus is saying here, so many people worry about the person who never heard of, listen, saved people here, people of Christ. If you're worried about that person that might not have ever heard about the Lord, you come and see me. We will put you on a plane. We will send you there. You can tell them all about the Lord. We'll finance you. But if you are going to take that as the reason why you don't believe, it just doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand. Why would God not fill in the blank? Tell those people about it. Well, let me ask you this question. What is the one people group that don't kill other people groups? Christianity. Buddhists, do they kill other people? Oh, why don't you ask the people in Asia if Buddhists go to war with the, there was like, what are they called? No, not the Sikhs, the other ones. Hindus. Hindus and Buddhists kill each other worse than the Muslim sects kill each other. Now, people don't know that. It doesn't fit the narrative. Christianity, real born-again Christianity. Now, some of you go, oh, yeah, well, what about the reformists? Well, first of all, the Crusades, let's get things straight. That was not what is proclaimed to be. Okay, that was not. If you do a little bit of research, first of all, you'll find out in 100 years of Crusades, less than 2,000 people got killed. All right, so they always use that as the reason. Plus, the sect, and I don't mean sect as in that was not born-again Christians that did that. So please understand that. Christianity is the only group that doesn't kill people. We don't kill people. We turn the other cheek. We defend ourselves. We never, ever kill people. If you have an argument about that, please see me afterward and we'll talk about that and we can discuss that. However, given that, as it were, back to the doctrine of the teaching for today, continue to read just so you understand. Verse 15, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Again, let me explain that to you in our language. If you've never heard about the Lord Jesus, you will be either accused or excused according to your knowledge. You can run around, put your fingers in your ears. Hey, can I tell you the gospel? No, don't want to hear the gospel. Don't hear the gospel. It's not going to save you. Nobody will have an excuse. In the last day, the guy that sat there and sipped the water out of the creek, if he went back to his life and never changed his deeds and never acknowledged the conviction in his heart, according to what we just read, at some point in time, his heart will stop beating and he will stand before the presence of a living and loving God and say and hear the words, why didn't you change? I spoke to you that day as clear as a bell. I gave you that water. I put that sunshine through the clouds, through the trees. You understand what I'm saying, guys? Listen, I hope this is really big because I remember this was one of my big questions. This is one of the things when I got saved that I struggled with. I don't understand. Out of all the billions of people on the planet, you're going to tell me the only ones that go to heaven are Christians. No, I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you that biblical Christianity, you have to accept Christ Jesus to go to that heaven. What about all those other people? They will be judged by God according to their knowledge, according to what we just read. So what you're saying, and please watch this, so what you're saying to me is then people who aren't Christians might potentially be able to go to heaven? I don't know if I'd put it that way. Well, how would you put it? I put it like I don't know what you're talking about. Here's what I put it. I accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I'm going to use my life as much as I can to tell other people about him. And the second I feel like I called to go to Africa, South America, whatever little countries there are that don't have the Lord Jesus, I'm going to go there, like a lot of people have done. But until then, I'm just going to, yeah, but you got to explain that to me. I can't explain it to you. All I know is what the Bible says. And if you think I know that much about God, I will remind you, I don't know crap. I don't know why the horse makes big old humpy dumpties. I don't know why the cows make the little flat ones, and I don't know why the deer makes the little bumpies. I don't know. Here's what I know. I know what I just read. And what it said was, again, their conscience will bear witness between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So here's the way I'm going to deduce it in my heart. Here's the way I suggest you have to run this by your own self. If somebody truly has not ever heard of the name Jesus Christ, whatever name they put on him, whether it's Yeshua, salvation, Son of God, whatever name they put on him, if you've never heard that name, the Bible we just read, the Lord Jesus said it, and now the Apostle Paul wrote it, you will be judged according to what you did. I don't want to be judged according to what I did. I'm really glad I'm not judged according to what I did. That's why I'm going to tell everybody about the grace of God. But those that do not have him will be judged according to what they did. Does that seem not fair to you? Then you make a place called heaven and you bring who you want there. The sovereignty of God is often a much maligned, misunderstood, and argued thing with God. And I understand that. And as the pastor, as the person that's supposed to teach you these deeper doctrinal things, I'm not going to make believe I understand how God's sovereignty works, but I will tell you that it does work. Right? Back to John 15. Here's where we close. Verse 24, again, if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. You understand why he said that? If nobody tells you about it, those people thought they were okay with God, but the Lord Jesus went and told them, you're not okay with God. Now they understand. Continuing. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. That is the deal breaker. Continuing, but this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Now I understand everything that he said at the beginning about why they hate you. You know why they hate you? Because you reveal to them their sin. I heard it put this way one time. I'll get a little emotional for you about it, but this is really interesting. I heard a guy one time say that the world looks at you, and when you mess up, they go, ha ha, Christian. I thought Christian wasn't supposed to do that. I thought Christian wasn't supposed to say that. Supposed to go, Christian. That's what it looks like on the outside. But let me tell you what it looks like on the inside. I thought this Christianity worked. I've been watching you to hope that it worked, and it ain't working, because if it doesn't work for you, there's no way it's going to work for me. And that's what goes on the inside, the same thing that's going on the outside for that person. They're really not there trying to mock you and make fun of you. They're really there hoping that it works for you because you are the only hope that they've ever seen or had. And their hate for you is often masked with disappointment. Their hate for you is more often masked with a loss of hope. Does anybody not understand what I meant there? See, the world hates the fact that you judge their sin. Oh, I don't judge people's sins. Yeah, but you kind of do because you are the light of the world. You don't get an abortion? Why? What are you better than us? This goes all the way back to Sodom and Gomorrah. If you've never heard the story of the angels who went to Sodom to destroy Sodom, send out those men. We want to have sex with them. Listen, I'm heterosexual. Oh, really? What does that mean? You judge me? Have you ever seen anybody hate more? Gay people hate this Vice President, Mike Pence, like crazy. I have never heard him say one negative thing about anybody. Gay, straight, what is the problem? He's Christian. Christians don't like gay people. Who said that? I have nothing against gay people. I have a lot of friends that are gay. I don't care who you sleep with. That's your business. Well, put it on me. Yeah, well, if you don't say it's okay. Well, wait a second. I don't say it's okay only because I'm not heterosexual. I'm heterosexual, and the Bible says that that is a sin. That's what I'm talking about. Judging me already. I'm not judging you. Wait a second. The Bible says that pride's a sin too. Greed's a sin too. Envy's a sin too. I hate those things in myself. You're judging. Of course they're going to hate you, guys. Of course the world's going to hate you. Because everybody has those sins. You know somebody that doesn't have that sin? Lust, check. Greed, check. Vengeance, check. Wrath, check. Sloth, check. Man, most of those I committed this morning. And if I didn't know that the grace of God was upon me to forgive me, oh man, I'd be having a bad day right now. No wonder they hate you, right? Listen again. Verse 24 again. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that they might, that word might be fulfilled, which is written in the law. They hated me without a cause. Have you ever done something for somebody in the whole generosity of your heart just to help them, and they wind up hating you for it? And you're like, what is wrong with you? Dude, what is your problem? There it is again. Do you know how many people, as a pastor, as a Christian, they ask, why are you so nice? Why do you help people? What do you get out of it? We did this video a few years ago. You can look online. It's called The Fighting Pastor. I was a coach at a gym I used to go to for MMA fighters, young MMA fighters. And I just helped them. And the whole thing, they came here and they filmed. It was kind of cool. Vice did a really good job. It was Vice, right? You guys, how many of you guys have seen it? It was a really good job they did. They didn't judge us. They just, the vitriolic hate that we got on the internet from Christians and non-Christians. This guy must be screwing these kids behind. This guy must be doing this guy. And I look at these comments and I'm like, oh my. My son would grab me and go, Dad, don't feed the trolls. But did you see what he said, buddy? Son, Dad, he used to say to me, son. It got reversed because, you know, I'm not used to that stuff. My son knows, don't feed the trolls. Look at this guy said that I'm, because on the video, I don't make money. I didn't make money training these kids. I did it because I love them. I did it because I got to share Christ with them. And a lot of them even got saved. And then Christians, everybody knows Jesus would never fight in a cage. What does that have to do with it? So does that mean MMA fighters can't be redeemed? I'm trying to figure this one out, where they came up with these things. And you have hundreds and thousands of comments, the vast majority of them telling me what a piece of garbage I am. You don't know, dude, what is your problem? They hate you. Why? Because your deeds reveal their wickedness. And I got to be honest, and this is what I started the whole thing with. If your deeds aren't revealing other people's wickedness, then maybe you are moving in the same direction. Lastly, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Verse 1, chapter 16, "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogue. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them." Please, stop right there. We're done with the Bible reading today. Here's the situation. Lastly, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit. What we just read, the Helper, the name of the Holy Spirit, the Helper. And then all through 16, he's going to talk about the Spirit, how it leads us, guides us. And what we're going to do next week, we're going to have a quick study, and then we're going to call the leaders of the church up here, and anybody who wants to receive the Holy Spirit, of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray. And we're going to ask God to do that. I want you to be praying about it this week. I want you to pray because God wants to open up gifts for some of you guys that you've not utilized. He wants some of you to be bold. Maybe it's your salvation. You'll experience the baptism of the Spirit and the baptism into the body at the same. I don't know. But I warn you now in advance. Some of you guys are going to have a hell of a week, because I'm offering you the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you one thing the enemy doesn't want. He doesn't want you to be here next week. He doesn't want you. He wants you to be useless. He wants you to be faithless. He wants you to be weak. And he certainly don't want you to be the light of the world. Next week, I encourage you to be here to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Close your Bible. Say amen with me. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the explanation that your word leaves no question unanswered, God. And I thank you about that, God, because I have so many questions. And I do pray for the person that's here that's struggling with some of the things that were spoken of today. Lord, please, may you give them a magnetic heart to come up here and to talk and not to run away angry. God, that they wouldn't go away without understanding, but they would, as your word says, in all you're getting, get understanding. God, may the knowledge of who you are change the way we think. God, we've been so foolish in exalting ourselves. God, we've been so foolish in exalting our wisdom. And God, as I mean with all due respect, God, I don't know poop. That is for sure. God, but I know your word and I love your word. And I want you to continue to use your word to change my life. All these things we as brothers and sisters ask you, God, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all.